Please join me in prayer. O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
Dearest Mother,
Saints and sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Amen. Reading from Swami Ram Dass on faith. As a rudder is an indispensable necessity for the safe piloting of a boat on the ocean, so faith is to life in the world. Faith can be defined as the unflinching reliance upon an invincible truth that resides in the heart of a human being. A man without faith is a vacillating creature, vacillating between sorrow and fear, whereas he who possesses faith is the real hero who has conquered weakness and stands firm like a rock in all storms of life. He not only faces bravely all the shocks that come to him in life, but also with an irresistible will triumphs over them. The one predominant quality of faith is fearlessness. The almighty power lodged within him is his main refuge. The soul that has this faith is ever sure of his ground and lives and acts unerringly in agreement with the promptings of the great ideal which he cherishes and adores in his own heart. Such a faith is said to be to work wonders, wonders appearing as such according to the external laws that govern things. As a certain cause produces an inevitable result, which is true of most things perceptible to the senses, so through faith as the cause, certain results are produced, which though seemingly strange, are perfectly natural in the inner workings of nature. Instead of using the power of faith in trying to mold external affairs, the right use of this power is to effect a transformation of one's entire heart and life. Instead of using the power of faith in trying to mold external affairs, the right use of this power is to effect a transformation of one's entire heart and life. If there is one being on whom we can put absolute trust, or on whom we can depend at all times and in all conditions, it should be the supreme truth. Man's fall from his divine state is due to his lack of faith in an ultimate reality. Sterling faith is closely associated with selfless love. The heart is the seat of love, so also the seat of truth. And truth and love being one, faith means undoubting confidence in the greatness of truth. Selfless love never fails. The apparent failure is not the criterion to judge the effect of love. Love starts its work from the heart or the inner life. The inception of faith in the soul of man, fulfilling itself by a pervasion of pure emotion of love in it, and culminating in blissful and spontaneous service through all his external movements. Faith is therefore an essentially divine acquisition. It takes the struggling, aspiring soul to the highest ideal, even beyond all thought and ideation, and makes his life a continuous stream of ecstasy born of an exalted vision. I think that this topic of faith is not only an essential one to our spiritual path, but it is also a fascinating topic because it's not always so easily understood. One of my favorite stories is of the individual who is renowned all over the world as a tightrope artist. And one day he decided to display his skills by crossing over Niagara Falls. So he had the line stretched across, and there's a great gathering of thousands and thousands of people all there to see him cross, and perhaps some of them were there to see him fall. You never know. That's part of the excitement. So he gets across, and these tremendous falls and the noise and the power of those falls were in motion. And step by step, he crosses across on this tightrope. And the crowd goes crazy, and they're all exclaiming just how wonderful this is. And then he walks back across the other way with a wheelbarrow in his hands instead of the long pole that he had before. Well, the crowd just goes crazy over this. And they're so ecstatic. And he shouts to the crowd and he says, "Who here thinks that I can cross again with the wheelbarrow?" And everybody shout in unison, "We do." And then he looks at them and he says, "Who will ride in the wheelbarrow?" Total silence. And that's the difference between belief and faith. That when you believe in something, you say, "Sure, I think you can do it." But faith is being able to get into the wheelbarrow and go across yourself. It's this total reliance that Papa talks about. It's an interesting thing that Mother, making me a minister of God and talking to people and talking about God and truth and love, all of these qualities that Papa is talking about here, service, is a natural manifestation of love. And I can tell when I'm talking to individuals and sometimes in groups where those words go to. And sometimes they penetrate deeply. They're like a seed that finds rich ground and goes deep into that ground and finds there a lot of nurturance for it to grow. And other times it just hits on the surface and it almost bounces right off the surface. It's barely received at all. And these truths that we receive are filled with tremendous power, but oftentimes in seed form. One time when Master was sitting with his guru, Sri Yukteswar, suddenly the Master stopped and he said, "You're not fully with me." And Master said, Yogananda said, Master, I can repeat almost word for word everything that you've just said. He said, "Nevertheless, your mind in the background had some things in operation." And he described the three different buildings and plate locations where he would eventually establish his worldwide work, one in India and two in America. And those were many years off, and yet Master had to admit that in the back of his mind, those images and those thoughts were playing themselves in the background, and he wasn't 100% with his guru. And Sri Yukteswar said, "These truths need your full attention in order to really get activated within your consciousness." And so it is that we apply ourselves to our spiritual path, and whether it is listening to the guru, the teacher, or whether it is listening to God within our hearts and our souls, there is a depth of quality that varies from time to time. And sometimes it's like reading a book, and you've read the whole page of the book, and you barely know what it is that you've read. You know that you've been reading the words, but you don't even know what it is that you've read. Your mind has wandered off, and you're off onto a daydream. And yes, in a way you are reading the words, but your attention wasn't there, and therefore you are not receptive to it. There's something that's happens within all of us, that if we hear something or read something and we just do it once, normally it just gets lodged into short-term memory within the brain. But if we repeat that thing over a period of days or weeks or a month even, it gradually gets stored into long-term memory. And those are the things that we remember for a long time. Sometimes repetition isn't it so much as the power of emotion that goes along with the idea. But as we think on things, as we go deeper with things, they begin to expand, they begin to grow, those seeds begin to take root. And there are roots that reach deep down, and then there are the branches that reach up high. And so these truths that we get take on greater and greater meaning. Now, when we hear about faith, we don't always know in the beginning what's being really described. Jesus said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, which is a tiny little seed, but it grows into a very large tree. But if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can do great things, what it would appear to be miraculous things to most people. And yet, in our lives, when we get into a situation, whether it is something concerning our health, or our finances, or relationships in our life, we get sorely tested. And as a result of that, we become more focused on the things of the world rather than God. Now, Mother had a simple maxim, and I think all of her teachings could be summed up in that. And it was, keep your mind on God. And yet, as soon as we enter into this world and we have some kind of obstacle that comes up, where does our mind go to? It goes to the object in the world. And that takes on greater predominance and greater power than God does within us. I remember at one time as I was going through this mystical crucifixion, and I went through a time when my psychic being was opening out, and I was very sensitive to the thoughts and ideas and the energy of the people around me, and it was painful for me to be in crowds. And unless I was sitting in a group with Mother and she was speaking and everybody's mind was tuned to her, but as soon as she stopped speaking, it was, of course, like the Tower of Babel. And so many people would be talking, and nothing wrong with it. It was a social time for many people, oftentimes the only time they would see other people. But it was painful for me to be in those kind of circumstances because of the variety of vibration and thought that was going on at the time. Over time, what happened was that the power of God inside of me grew greater. And so my attention became more fully fixed on God within and less influenced by the events outside. My psychic awareness was still in operation, so to speak. I could still sense and feel what people, their energy, their thoughts, their emotions. But now my mind was more with God, and so I wasn't as easily influenced out of the presence of God. So oftentimes when we start upon our spiritual path, we're so keenly aware of all the things we don't like about ourselves, all the things we'd like to change. And so we go about trying to change those things, and there's a certain efficacy to that. We do affirmations, we work on ourselves to change habits and the things that go on in our life. But there comes a time where God within begins to grow inside, that God experience, the feeling of God. When Papa chanted God's name, he not only chanted Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, victory to God, victory to God, but he'd also repeat God's attributes. Oh Lord, you are all powerful, you are all knowing, you are all love and light, and so on. And in this way, he would bring to mind all the attributes that God is. And so when you practice this and you're chanting God's name in whatever form that most calls to you, and you are also repeating the attributes of God, thinking of Him, feeling Him, loving Him, and His attributes, then your mind is fully centered upon the divine, and you, the delusion of the world, the things of the world, begin to lose their hold on you. And you learn what it is like, what Jesus talked about, that you live in the world, but you are not of the world. You still participate in this world, but what you're most keenly aware of is the divine presence inside of you. Now, how do you know that it's the divine presence? You know it by its qualities. You feel the peace within you. You feel love within your heart, and it manifests out as a spirit of service, doing what is right. God is always at the center of your focus, and you feel all of these qualities welling up in you. Then you know that you are with God. And the more you know that, the more you feel it, the more you're filled with that presence, the more you are with God. Even from the very beginning, you can be in high states of realization. And you can be as God realized as you will ever be at certain moments, that you are uplifted in that ecstasy. But the thing is your mind gets drawn by the things that are outside of you, or different thoughts that come up from your subconscious mind because your mind is not yet purified. And we attach ourselves to those particular thoughts. Some thoughts can flow through and they have no hold, no attraction for you. But suddenly a thought will come by that's particular to your own desire nature or your own fear nature. And suddenly your mind is drawn out into that way of thinking. It's like jumping into the river and going downstream with it. And suddenly you're in a deep, dark ravine that you had not intended to go in at all. And the mind is extremely quick and extremely powerful. And so we go about purifying the mind. How? By keeping our mind upon God. I want to read something here that's also from the Vision magazine. And it's by Sri Aurobindo, and it's entitled, The Goal. It is a mistake to dwell too much on the lower nature and its obstacles, which is the negative side of sadhana. They have been seen and purified, but preoccupation with them is one important thing, is not helpful. The positive side of experience of the descent is more important thing. In other words, the feeling, the quality of God as it descends into our being, that's more powerful of a purifier than trying to get rid of the things that we don't like. If one waits for the lower nature to be purified entirely and for all time before calling down the positive experience, one might have to wait forever. It is true that the more lower the nature is purified, the easier is the descent of the higher nature. But it is also more true that the more the higher nature descends, the more the lower is purified. Neither the complete purification nor the permanent and perfect manifestation can come all at once. It is a matter of time and patient progress. The two, purification and manifestation, go on progressing side by side and becoming more and more strong to play into each other's hands, that is, the usual course of the sadhana. Intensities do not remain so long as consciousness is not transformed. There has to be a period of assimilation. When the being is unconscious, the assimilation goes on behind the veil or below the surface, and meanwhile the surface consciousness sees only dullness and loss of what it had got. But when one is conscious, then one can see the assimilation going on, and one sees that nothing is lost. It is only a quiet settling of what has come down. And so, in other words, sometimes you're more aware of what it is that is being taken away from you. And you go through this mystical crucifixion and you are bounced between those two opposites. And at one moment you're lifted up and you're feeling the ecstasy of God. And another moment your mind goes down and it becomes riveted on the things of the world. Sometimes this can be greed or lust or anger. It can also be just the things of the world that reach out to you, situations, work situations in your life, love situations in your life, relationship things in your life. And they just really hit you powerfully. And back and forth you go. You're lifted up and you're taken back down. But if you would know it, this emptying out of the cup is something that is absolutely required in order to have the cup filled with the divine nectar. If you are always filled with your ego, then there's no room for God to come in. So God goes about emptying and scouring out the cup, and it's not a pleasant process. But as you do so, while you keep your mind on God, understanding that this emptying out and scouring out of the cup is absolutely essential, and that you don't put your mind too much on the things that it's being emptied of. You're conscious of it as it gets emptied out, but you don't give it any new life energy. You don't give it anything new, because that will only enliven it and make it stronger. And so if an illness comes into your body, for instance, you can acknowledge to some degree and to the effect that you try to do what you can to make the body healthy and to take your medicine or to take care of your body and whatever is needed in order to recover, to get a speedy and complete recovery. But there's a part of your mind that never gives itself wholly over to the body or to its physical condition. There's the greater part of your mind that resides in the perfection of God, where health and perfect health already exists. Even if the body feels weak, even if it has pain, even if it is tired, nevertheless, you hold on to that part that is not any of those things, that part that is perfect already. And by putting your mind on that, you will draw down that grace, that power of light into your being. And it will help animate you and purify you and bring you into that state of perfect health once again. But how tempting it is when we get into a sore condition and we feel a bit sorry for ourselves and we feel that perhaps nobody else really understands us or sees us in our misery. And then we just start thinking more and more deeply on the condition that our body is in or that our finances are in or anything else. And as a result of that, we go deeper and deeper into that darkness. And it only seems like the darkness is a confirmation of what a miserable state we are in. And then the mind just gets tempted to go even deeper into it. And we do that until we get thoroughly sick and tired of it. And we realize that nobody else is in charge of us than us. And that if our life is going to change, we're going to have to change our mind. We're going to have to change where we put our focus of attention at. And then we begin to think on God's attributes. And that begins to bring this power down into the darkness and to purify it. And so this is the great way. This is the way of the bhakti. The yani, on the other hand, really looks to just look for the emptiness. But the bhakti looks to supplant that emptiness with the fullness of God. And this is a wonderful thing. It's a more positive approach. And that is thinking of the attributes of God. And that as you do so, you begin to transform the consciousness. It's just not a matter of you trying to make yourself a better person. One of the things that we talked about last week in our class of Christian yoga, and one of the possible things that you could think about that I put down here, was Christ already lives in you, full, complete. In your mind's eye, see yourself as this knowing one with all wisdom, power, and of overcoming, practice being this Christ self and walk in the world with spiritual freedom of the one you already are. And this is a tremendous shortcut on the spiritual path, that you feel those qualities, you see yourself walking the world as Jesus, as Krishna, as Rama, as Buddha. And you feel the qualities of those beings being awakened inside of you. And those qualities are already inside of you, and that is why you can feel them almost immediately begin to wake up. You don't think too much or give too much power to the things of negativity. And in this way, you can really go about making tremendous progress in a hurry. I just wanted to read you one other thing, if I can find it here, from Papa. And it was from one of Papa's letters. No, it wasn't. Let me see if I can find it here. Yes, this is it. Well, excuse me, I thought I had it right here. This is it. Art of Transcendence. I don't know who it's written by. One day Buddha was passing through a forest. It was a hot summer day and he was feeling very thirsty. He said to Ananda, his chief disciple, "Ananda, I am feeling very thirsty. Just 3 or 4 miles behind, we passed a small stream of water. Please bring me a little water from there, and you may take my begging bowl with you." Ananda went back, but by the time he reached the stream, a few bullock carts had passed through the stream and made the water muddy. Dead leaves, which had settled to the bed, had risen up. It is not possible to drink it. So he came back empty-handed, and he said, "You will have to wait a little. I have heard that just 2 or 3 miles ahead there is a big river. I will bring water from there." However, Buddha insisted and said, "You go back and bring water from the same stream." Ananda did not understand, but was ready to do the bidding of his master. Just as he left, Buddha said, "Don't come back if the water is still dirty. You may sit on the bank silently and wait for the mud to settle. Don't do anything. Don't get into the stream. Sit on the bank silently and watch. Sooner or later, the water will be clear again, and then you will fill the bowl and come back." Ananda went there. Buddha was right. The water was almost clear. The leaves had moved. The mud was almost settled. But it was not absolutely clear yet. So he sat on the bank just watching the river flow by. Then he filled the pot and returned to his master. He understood why Buddha had insisted on having water from the muddy stream. There was a message in it for him, and he had grasped it. He gave the water to Buddha, also thanked him, and touched his feet. Buddha said, "What are you doing? I should thank you for bringing water for me." Ananda said, "Now I have understood. At first I was angry, though I didn't show it, because I felt it was absurd to go back. But now I understand the message. Sitting on the bank of the small stream, I became aware that same is case with my mind. If I jump into stream, I will make it dirty again. If I jump into the mind, more noise is created, more problems start cropping up or surfacing. Sitting by the side, I learned the technique to quieten the mind. Now on, I will sit by the side of my mind, watching it with all its dirtiness and problems and old leaves and hurts and wounds, memories, desires. Unconcerned, I will sit on the bank and wait. Wait for the moment when everything is clear. And it will happen of its own accord, because the moment you sit on the bank of your mind, You are no longer giving energy to it. This is the real meditation. Meditation is the art of transcendence. And isn't this a wonderful story? So we sit. We keep our mind upon God. We keep on pulling down the transcendent virtues that are inherent within your own being. Because we are so filled with ego consciousness, we think that we have to create God, that we have to create God's virtues, that we have to somehow make all of this happen. But this is not possible. This is the ego trying to be God. When you quiet down the mind, sitting next to the stream, then the virtues of what is transcendent automatically begins to reflect in that clearing pool as the leaves and all the mud begins to settle, and suddenly you see the blue sky above and the stars and the sun and the moon all are reflected in the surface of that water. So do everything that you can to take your mind from the predominance and the absolute tyrant of the world. It's a tyrant within our own consciousness, within our own mind. And transfer your allegiance to God. Let this seed of an idea go deeply within your consciousness, beyond just your own personal will even. Go into the very depths of your consciousness and begin to take root and then stretch out its limbs towards the light. That you of yourself, your own will, as Swami Satchitananda would say, your puny little mind. And indeed, when we touch the divine mind, we realize how puny the little ego mind really is. God stands in the wings, waiting for you to give yourself over to Him, to surrender to Him, to begin to really put your mind upon Him. And He's waiting to spring into action. It's here and it's now. And you don't have to create it. It already is. And so when you can do this, you will find yourself suddenly lifted up on those wings. God will be taking you up. And the moment the ego inserts itself in there, you will find yourself descending once again. But once again, you put your mind upon God. You surrender everything at His feet. You think of His virtues. You chant His name. You do all the things that we've been taught to do. And the mind is lifted up into the divine mind. And no longer do you live in isolation, separation, suffering. You may have pain in your life. Sometimes this body produces pain. Sometimes there are situations that produce some pain. But pain and suffering are not the same. Pain is an impulse that comes to the mind. Suffering is what we experience when we're in ignorance of our oneness with God. And suffering will be brought to an end because you and your Heavenly Father, your Divine Mother, will be one. And you will know that you are He, you are She, you are the Divine that is throughout all creation and beyond. You are transcendent. Be it so, be it so. Be that seed planted deeply within your consciousness, that it may find full expression within you, now and always. And now if you'll pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father.
Oh, Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
Of Thy glorious presence.
Of Thy glorious presence. In every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
My heart is bursting with my love.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
and surrender myself to Thee.
And surrender myself to Thee.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence. Are radiant with Thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He. Light of God within you.